Today is the 26th day of August. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is always a joy. I'm very, very grateful to be here with you today. Grateful that there's a place to be that we lovingly call the Global Campfire. Grateful that we can be here today. On the 26th day of August, taking the next step forward, moving through the book of Job for the 20th time, and the depths of human suffering and emotional anguish. And man, we are in the thick of it. Things have kind of turned from, comfort. And at this point, Job and his friends are sitting around, and they're in a pretty good disagreement. Pretty good size argument that is getting more and more heated and in some ways insulting. And that will continue. And so we're continuing to watch that as we open ourselves to the mirror that the Bible is. As we open ourselves to what it feels like when we're in anguish, and that we can relate to Job's words, but also as we find ourselves in the voices of Job's friends, as they are also wrestling, they kind of have their theology in order, they kind of have their understanding of how things work, so they're trying to impose that upon Job. And it's falling flat because Job, first of all, is in a significant trauma response, but also really needs understanding. And human wisdom is not going to give him the understanding he seeks. Only God will. And so that's what he's arguing. Let's take the next step forward in Job. And then we finished 1 Corinthians yesterday. So when we get to the New Testament, we'll be moving into a new letter, 2 Corinthians. We'll talk about that when we get there. But first, Job chapters 20, 21, and 22. Then Zophar the Naamathite responded, "This is why my troubled thoughts make me respond again, and why my thoughts are racing through my mind. I heard a rebuke that insults me, so my spirit prompts me to respond with understanding. Don't you know this? From ancient times, from the time when Adam was placed on earth, the triumphant cry of the wicked has been short-lived, and the joy of the godless lasts only a moment. Although his arrogance reaches up to the skies and his head touches the clouds, he will perish forever like his own filth. Those who saw him will say, 'Where is he?' Like a dream he flies away and he cannot be found. Like a vision during the night he flutters away. An eye catches sight of him, but it does not see him again. His place will no longer look at him. His children must make restitution to the poor. His hands must give back his wealth. His bones were once filled with youthful vigor, but that vigor will lie down with him in the dust. If evil tastes sweet in his mouth, and he tucks it under his tongue, if he hoards it for himself and he does not let it go, but savors it on his palate, his food will turn into cobra venom in his stomach. He swallowed wealth, but he vomits it up. God makes him expel it from his belly. He sucks the poison of cobras. The fangs of a viper kill him. He will not see the streams, the rivers that flow with honey and cream. Without digesting it, he gives up the produce for which he labored. He does not enjoy the wealth for which he traded. because he has crushed and abandoned the poor, and he has stolen a house he did not build. His stomach is never filled. He cannot satisfy his desires, because now there is nothing left for him to eat, so his prosperity will not endure. Even when he has plenty, distress catches up with him, and misery grabs hold of him. While he is filling his belly, God will send burning anger upon him, and it will rain down on his body. He flees from iron weapons, but he is pierced by a bronze arrow. He pulls the arrow out of his back, and the shiny point comes out of his liver. Terrors come over him. Complete darkness is lying in wait for his hidden treasures. A fire that needs no fanning will consume him. It will destroy anything that survives in his tent. The heavens will uncover his guilt, and the earth will rise up against him. A flood will carry away his house, sweeping away his possessions on the day of God's wrath. This is God's sentence on the evil man. This is his heritage decreed by God. And Job responded, "Listen carefully to my words. That is the kind of encouragement you should give me. Put up with me while I speak. Then, after I have spoken, you may resume your mocking. Is my complaint against a man? Why shouldn't I be impatient? Look at me and be shocked, and then put your hand over your mouth. When I remember all this, I am terrified, and horror makes my flesh tremble. Why do the wicked keep living, reach old age, and even become stronger? Their descendants are firmly established in their presence, and they live long enough to see their offspring. Their houses are safe from fear, and God's rod does not strike them. The wicked man's bulls breed without failing. His cows deliver calves without miscarrying. Their toddlers frolic like flocks, and their children dance around. They sing to the accompaniment of hand drums and lyres. They celebrate to the sound of a flute. They finish out their days in prosperity. Then they go down to the grave in a moment. They say to God, 'Keep away from us. We know your ways, but we find no pleasure in them.' Who is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what benefit do we gain from pleading with him? But I know that their prosperity is not in their own hands. So I have distanced myself from the way of life of the wicked. How often is the lamp of the wicked extinguished? How often does the disaster they deserve come upon them? How often does God in his anger dole out their fair share of pain? How often are they like straw blown by the wind, like chaff that a windstorm whisks away? People say God stores up a man's punishment for his children, but he should repay the man himself so that he experiences it. Let his own eyes see his condemnation. Let him drink from the rage of the Almighty. For what does he care about his household after his death, when his allotment of months is run out? Can anyone teach God knowledge, since he judges even the most exalted ones? One person dies with vigor in his bones, completely secure and at ease. His body is filled out with fat and his bones are rich with marrow. Another person dies with his soul filled with bitterness, without ever tasting anything good. Both of them lie down together in the dust, and worms cover them both. Oh, I know your thoughts and your schemes to harm me. For you say, where is the nobleman's house? And where is the tent, which was the dwelling of the wicked? Why don't you question those who travel the roads? Why don't you acknowledge the lessons they learned? They say that the wicked man is spared from the day of disaster, and that he escapes the day of raging fury. Who denounces him to his face for the way he has lived? Who repays him for what he has done? When he is carried to the tombs, when a vigil is kept at his burial mound, the clods of dirt from the stream bed are sweet to him. Everyone follows his funeral procession. A crowd of people marches ahead of it. So how can you comfort me with your useless words? There is nothing left from your answers but fraud. Eliphaz the Temanite responded, can a man benefit God? Can even a wise man be of any use to him? Should the Almighty be delighted if you are righteous? Does he gain any advantage if your ways are blameless? Is it because of your reverence that he rebukes you and comes against you in judgment? Isn't your wickedness great? Isn't your guilt endless? You have seized collateral from your brothers without cause, and you have stripped off clothing from the naked. You have not given water to the weary, and you have withheld bread from the hungry. The earth belongs to a forceful man, and a well-respected man dwells in it. You send widows away empty-handed. You crush the arms of the fatherless. That is why snares are all around you, and sudden fear overwhelms you. That is why you cannot see in the darkness, and floodwaters cover you. Is not God in the heights of heaven? Look at the highest stars, so high above. But you say, what does God know? Can he judge through the thick darkness? Dark clouds are a veil around him, so he does not see us as he walks back and forth in heaven's dome. Are you the guardian of the ancient way? The one traveled by wicked men? They were snatched away before their time. Their foundation was washed away by a river. They said to God, keep away from us. And what can the Almighty do to us? Even though he had filled their houses with good. That is why the way of life of the wicked is far from me. The righteous see this and are glad. The innocent mock them, saying, surely our adversaries have been erased. Fire has eaten up their abundance. Be reconciled with God. Be at peace with him. Then good will come to you. Accept teaching from his mouth and set his words in your heart. If you turn to the Almighty, you will be built up. If you want to put injustice far from your tent, throw your purest gold into the dust and your gold from Ophir upon the rocks in the ravines. Then the Almighty will be your purest gold and your most precious silver. Then you will find pleasure in the Almighty, and you will lift up your face to God. You will pray to God and he will hear you, and you will fulfill your vows. You will decide on a matter and it will be done for you, and light will shine on your ways. When people are brought low and you say, lift them up, God will save the downcast. He will deliver even the person who is not innocent, who will escape by the purity of your hands. Okay, so as we were talking about just a few minutes ago, we finished 1 Corinthians yesterday, so we're moving forward into another of Paul's letters, another one to the church at Corinth. And this one is known as 2 Corinthians, even though it's probably the third letter to the Corinthian church. This gets a little tedious. Some of the things in the Bible do get tedious. We read 1 Corinthians and we just finished it. But there's another letter referenced in 1 Corinthians, which would have probably been the first letter. And so we probably just read the second letter and we're about to read the third letter, even though they're known as 1 and 2 Corinthians, because whichever letter it was that was referred to in 1 Corinthians, we don't have it. It hasn't been preserved. It's never been discovered. In biblical scholarship, there's pretty well no division among scholars about the authenticity of this letter. There is a little bit of division on whether 2 Corinthians is a complete letter, or maybe it's actually a combination of two letters. And that's because there's just a really noticeable change in the tone between the first half of the letter and the last half of the letter. Man, that stuff is above my pay grade. People argue and debate over these things for all kinds of reasons with all kinds of proofs. And man, it's important to pay attention to linguists and historical criticism and literary criticism to kind of dive in and understand origins and all kinds of different things that can be derived from those disciplines. The 2 Corinthians, as a whole, was probably written on Paul's third missionary journey. That would put it somewhere in the late 50s AD. And Titus, who is one of Paul's sons in the faith, had visited the Corinthians. And then he met up with Paul later during his travels. And that allowed Paul to hear feedback on how the church in Corinth was doing, but also the impact of his letter, the letter we just wrote. And that probably prompted Paul to write the letter that we're about to begin. So just kind of by way of reminder, the church at Corinth was in Corinth, which was a cosmopolitan area, very sensual city. It was a melting pot of ideas and different persuasions and convictions, like we find in large secularized cities. And it was rebellious in a lot of ways. As a part of that culture, this contrariness or this rebellion had found its way into the church, and there was plenty of division in the church at Corinth. A small group of members, not as if this doesn't happen today, a small group of members was kind of playing church politics to have power, even to the point where they started questioning the authority of Paul over the church. Like, why does he get to make the rules? Just because he founded this church, we have to be here, we'll govern it, we'll make up our own rules. Why do we have to follow his apostleship? And then that led to questioning even aspects of the gospel itself. So that is the context that Paul is writing 2 Corinthians. The issues that Paul deals with in this letter, man, they sound very familiar in our modern church era. We're looking back a couple thousand years. It's a different time period. So they're just wearing different clothes. But the issues that are driving the human heart that Paul is talking about, they have not changed a lot. And so we'll recognize them. And as we move through 2 Corinthians, may we indeed invite the Holy Spirit to shine the light of truth. Not just to expose the errors of everybody else, but so that it will be a mirror and we can see into our own motives and actions within our faith communities and with our own relationship with God. And so with that, we begin 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is in Corinth, together with all the saints who are everywhere in Achaia, grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our trouble, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the same comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ overflow to us, so through Christ, our comfort also overflows. If we are troubled, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you the ability to endure the same sufferings that we are also suffering. Our hope for you is sure, since we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so you also share in our comfort. Brothers, we do not want you to be unaware of the trouble that happened to us in the province of Asia. We were burdened so greatly, so far beyond our ability to bear it, that we even gave up hope of living. Yes, we even felt the sentence of death within ourselves. This happened so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raises the dead. He rescued us from such a terrible death, and he will continue to rescue us. We have set our hope on him, that he will also rescue us again. As you join in helping us with your prayer for us, then many people will thank God for the gracious gift given to us through many prayers. Psalm 40, 11 through 17. Lord, you do not hold back your compassion from me. Let your mercy and your truth always protect me, although troubles without number surround me. Punishments for my guilt have smothered me, so I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, so my courage deserts me. Be pleased, O Lord, to save me. Lord, hurry to help me. Let all who seek to end my life be frustrated and completely confused. Let everyone who desires my ruin be turned back and disgraced. Let those who say to me, "Aha, we got you," be dismayed, because they have been put to shame. But let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation always say, "The Lord is great." Yet I am poor and needy. May the Lord think about me. You are my help and my deliverer. O my God, do not delay. Proverbs 22:2-4. Rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. A sensible person sees trouble and hides, but the naive keep going and pay the penalty. The outcome of humility and of the fear of the Lord is wealth, honor, and life. Father, we thank you for your word. Every day we thank you for another day, another step, another breath, another opportunity to live and tell the story, to share this patch of history, to be here present, to be conscious, to be aware, and to love you and have the opportunity to turn toward you. And we turn toward you even as we continue this journey through Job and anguish and the depths of the human experience, but even also as we continue forward through the letters, the oldest documents that remain in all of the New Testament, the letters of Paul. We embrace these things because they reveal how little has changed, even though so much has changed. How the posture of the human heart and how things that spill into our lives and spill into our faith communities remain things that we must be vigilant about, but still things that we're struggling with even 2,000 years later. So we invite your Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, lead us into all truth, we ask. In the name of Jesus, amen. DailyAudioBible.com, that is home base, the Daily Audio Bible app, that is home base. One is on the web, one is in the app store. Get connected, stay connected, be connected. The community section's a place to begin to get connected. The prayer wall lives there, and that is always on, that is never off, when you're going through things or when you're sailing through high. That's the place to go. Encourage, pray for, share your story. That is the prayer wall. And that has been going on for years and years and years and years, and continues to be a place of support for the community here. The community section also has the links to the different social media platforms that Daily Audio Bible participates in. So wherever you may be on those, like in that world, if you are in that world, just kind of following is the way to go so that you can get announcements, some behind the scenes, some encouragements as we move through any week. We're just trying to be a positive force in that world, but a positive reinforcement in the community as we take this journey together. So if you're spending any time at all scrolling through and finding some words of encouragement from us as we take the journey as a community, that's a good thing to do. So check that out. It is the 20th year that we've been going through the scriptures together. We've released a 20th anniversary coffee for this year, since we've been doing coffee for most of the 20 years. It's called Southern Pecan 20th Anniversary Reserve. Even hearing me talk about it, it is, I love how many of you have some pictures of you brewing it, you drinking it, posted things out there, letting people know you love it. That has been fun to watch. I'm encouraged by that. We worked hard to get it right. Something, you know, it's 20th year, so yeah, it's that thing that's going to represent the 20th year. I love it. It's what I drink right now. As we move through the 20th year, got some now, right here to my right, like always. So if you haven't had a chance to get some yet, you can find it in the Daily Audio Bible shop or in the shop on the app. So, I don't think I said that right. You can find it in the Daily Audio Bible shop, which you can find at dailyaudiobible.com or in the Daily Audio Bible app. So grab yourself a bag or two or however many you want. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, humble, deep gratitude, nothing but gratefulness to be able to have been here every day for all of these years. That is because we gather together each and every day and create a safe oasis to move forward as a community. Thank you for your partnership in that. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, which is the little red button up at the top, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is all for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Shalom, shalom, Daily Audio Bible. This is Dwayne from Wisconsin. All praise and glory to our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Brian and Jill, I know it's been a few days since the talk you had on the song and Job, and I greatly appreciated the insight that you had. I've always struggled with that book of the Bible myself, and Brian and Jill, your insight into that has greatly helped me to understand it and have a deeper insight for it, and I truly look forward to going through it again with you, Brian. So thank you for that. Today is the 19th. Let's continue to pray for our children. Paula called in, would like us to pray for her oldest daughter. Pray for his son, whose oldest daughter he would like custody of, but was going to give full custody over to the mother. Lord, we pray that you would be in this situation. We pray that you be with this young child, that going forward, she would still have visits with her father, that he would still be an influence in her life. We pray for the mother, that she would turn to you, Lord, and be a godly mother. Lord, we want to lift this up, this situation, to you. Brian called in, would like us to continue to pray for Mitchell, his son. He's in jail for trespassing. Hopefully he still will be able to get the apartment he wants. So we're going to continue to lift up Mitchell to you, Lord, as well as his other son, Matthew, and then his daughter, Ashley, is having issues with the job and stress related to that. So we're going to lift that all up to our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen, and God bless.
Hey, DAB fam, this is The Weave. I called in a few months back after a colonoscopy. My doctor found a mass in my colon. Everything turned out pretty good in regards to everything's benign. There's no cancer. However, today's the 18th of August, and I'm calling for prayer because I'm going to have surgery to remove the right side of my colon where that mass is at. So I'm going to have surgery on the 26th of August, which is next Tuesday. You guys could pray for me. That'd be fantastic. I just, you know, praying everything goes well with the surgery. praying everything goes well with recovery, praying that they're able to put everything back in place where it needs to be. And yeah, that I can get back to work soon. And I appreciate you guys, and thanks for praying, and God bless.
Hello, my name is Diane, and I live in Pennsylvania. And I have a prayer request for a man named Tony who has myasthenia gravis in his swallowing muscle. And he hasn't been able to eat for a number of weeks now. They've given him infusions, but he hasn't responded to that treatment yet. So we're praying for healing of his swallowing muscle, and he'll be able to eat again. I also have another prayer request for a friend named Carol who's battling cancer and rectal cancer, and she is going through chemotherapy. She's having difficulty with her legs. So we're praying for the chemotherapy to work and for her legs to work better, that they would be able to treat that. Thank you for your prayers. I love you, Dab family. This is Diane from Pennsylvania.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible. This is Jacqueline from Montana, blessed in the Bitterroot. Today I am calling in for prayer for a young lady named Paige Wood. She was in a terrible accident on August 10th. She fell asleep while driving home, and the Lord has been with her every day. She has had multiple surgeries. She responded yesterday, moved her toes. Praise the Lord for that. She has a couple more major surgeries on Wednesday and Thursday. Today is August 19th. So she has surgeries tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday, the 20th and 21st. And then it's just going to be a really long road to recovery. And we just thank the Lord for being there for her. And we just ask for continued prayers for her, Paige Wood. Thank you all so much, family. I love you. This is Jacqueline from Montana, blessed in the Bitterroot.
Hey, DAB family. This is Byron out in Florida. Hope you guys are doing well. I use some prayers for my family. My youngest son, Nehemiah, is having some difficulty transitioning back to school. He's exhibited some aggressive behavior, and the principal's telling us that if he's going to continue attending that school, we need to secure a behavioral therapist, which we have been trying to do for over a month, but between availability, insurance, and all the other stuff, it's not as easy as it should be. I just ask for your prayers for him, because he's really struggling. And for our family, I think we're under a sort of spiritual attack. It has been difficult with him lately, but the Lord has been using that to help our family work better together and to come closer in this situation. And I think the enemy is jealous and angry of that, and it's just sparking more division. So I just ask you guys to agree with me in prayer for my family and for my son Nehemiah, that he can live up to his name and do bold things for Christ. I thank you that you guys are always there. God is always good. Even in the most difficult times, he's working all things together for the good of those who love them and are called according to his purposes. And I thank him that we are called and that we are loved and that we will persevere. So I appreciate you guys agreeing with us in prayer. I love you all.
Hi, this is Kyle in Pennsylvania. Calling to give an update about my daughter, Riley, who I called in for back in July. She had a heart cath and an MRI procedure on August 5th to look to see how the surgery that they did on her heart in 2023 is going and what the next steps might be for her heart. And I just wanted to call and thank you guys for all your prayers. The procedure went very well. The doctor who did the heart cath said everything looked good. Her numbers were good and what he wanted to see. And he said that it doesn't look like they will have to do what's called a Fontan surgery, which was great news for us, because before our daughter was born and we found out about her heart condition, we were told that kids with Down syndrome usually don't do well with a Fontan surgery, and that's really not the best way to go for them, but that was kind of what we might have to do with her heart condition. And so just the fact that here we are now, 5 years later, and just the miracle that God has worked in her life and through the doctors, that we might be able to skip that surgery and do something else for her heart, just really shows the power of prayer and the power of God working in her life. And we're just so grateful to all of you for your prayers and grateful to God for all that he has done in her life and all that he has yet to do. So, yeah, thank you. Bye.